Good morning, and welcome in again to Mornings for the Master, a program that is heard each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. We find each weekday morning a different host, a different course of study here on Mornings for the Master, and we hope that you are availing yourselves to these programs. My name is Chris McElyea. I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master is heard on the Gospel Radio Network. The Gospel Radio Network is a work of under the oversight of the eldership of the Mount Vernon, Texas Church of Christ. It is supported by various brethren through the Brotherhood, who are concerned about the sending forth of the gospel to the four corners of the world. And we are thrilled to be able to be with you through this means. Again, now, Mornings for the Master can be heard each weekday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. The programs are replayed in the evenings at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so, too. The programming director for the Gospel Radio Network is Brother David Sudhoff. He does a great job in getting these programs to you. Now, on our Thursday editions of Mornings for the Master, at this time, we are studying the book of James. Now, we're just a few weeks into this study. We are still in chapter 1, and today, we are going to begin with verse 9. Again, we remember that the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network is heard 24/7 with sound gospel teaching, beautiful gospel hymns, and I hope that you avail yourselves to all of these programs here on the radio. Now, let's get right into our study for today, and we're going to begin with verse 9 here in the first chapter of James. And here we read, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits." Now James, as we looked at last week, has already brought to our attention how we can turn the various trials and tribulations of life into triumph in Christ. And as we saw this in verses 2 through 8, he continues now to look at how we face and how we deal with trials. In verses 9 and following, James looks at more specifically the trials of being poor and the trials of being rich. There are certain attitudes that we need to have, and James discusses this, for there are certainly trials that we face, whether we be rich or poor in the material sense. But the truth is, When we consider what James has to say, and even other of the biblical writers, there is much to say about the poor man and the rich man. And we understand that either way can create problems for us. Let's notice now some of the trials that we face. Let's go back to Proverbs, and now notice what we learn in Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 7. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and profane the name of my God. So we notice some things here, and one is that when we are poor in our poverty, we must resist the temptation we might have to curse God because of our situation. Do you recall Lot's wife? Job. Do you recall Job's wife? Mrs. Job wanted her husband to do that when they had lost everything. Think about what Job's wife said in Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then his wife said to him, Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. She wanted him to do the very thing that so many men and women do today when things in their life are not going as planned, when there are struggles. And that is, they simply want to curse God and die. But now, on the opposite end of that, when we are filled with worldly riches, we may be tempted to forget God and to begin to lean upon our own abilities. God warned Israel that that might happen to them. Think back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, and the warning. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I have command you today, lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And the truth is, that is, in fact, just exactly what happened to Israel. Think of the chastising of the Lord that came by the prophet Hosea in chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. Having seen that man has the potential for problems that can be caused by poverty or wealth, either one, there are things that we must ponder over. Why, then, are we to find joy in poverty or wealth? Whether rich or poor, we are to be filled with joy. And James points this out to us. Notice, back to our text now, in James 1, as we go back to verse 9 again. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because, as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. So let's understand that if we live in poverty, if we are poor by the world's standards, then we can rejoice that we have been exalted. Think about that. For we can be exalted in the riches of faith. God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Now, going back to James, let's notice chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? It is the poor who first had the gospel preached to them. Go with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You see, the poor, wretched slave is the one who becomes free in Christ. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. So thus, even if in the worldly material sense, you are a poor man, you can still be spiritually rich. You can be on an equal footing with kings and billionaires as Christian. Reflect with me on Revelation chapter 2. In verses 8 and 9, as the Lord speaks to the church in Smyrna, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And so the poor can be rich. But if we are rich in the worldly materialistic sense, then we can rejoice that we have been humbled. You see, the rich man is humbled because he becomes Christ's slave as a Christian. Again, let's think about 1 Corinthians 7, verses 21 and 22 again. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. Being placed on an equal footing with all Christians, the rich man is humbled because earthly riches mean nothing, but they can be used to great spiritual good. Listen to the words of Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. We need to think about why it is a good thing that the rich who are in Christ are humbled. We need to understand that earthly riches are temporary. We're not to be laying up earthly treasure, but heavenly treasure. Notice, again, back in our text in James 1, look again at verses 10 and 11. But the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Let's listen to the words of the proverb writer in chapter 23, beginning in verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Consider also what Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Riches are unable to redeem our souls. What a sad thing when a man places his trust in riches, in their wealth. Let's reflect for a moment upon the 49th Psalm. Let's go back to verse 6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. That he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Now go down a few more verses there in that 49th Psalm to verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their posterity who approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. We must not get caught in the love of money, the love of what we have, or the love of the desire to have more. The love of money is like quicksand. It is also the source of great pain for many. Indeed, a self-inflicted injury. Notice what Paul again told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, when we come to Christ Jesus, many find these things out and begin to understand it for the first time. Indeed, before coming to Christ, we might have fallen into the same snare and trap that so many do today. thinking that the route to true security is money. Think of how many people today will sell their soul in the pursuit of money. But I think we need to take our attention back to the important parable that Jesus taught concerning the rich fool and heed the lesson from that. Go with me to Luke chapter 12 and let's consider beginning in verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And so, as we bring things to a close today, let's consider a few things. We must understand that when a man has earthly poverty, there are trials that come with it. When a man has earthly wealth, there are trials that come with it. But we learn that whether we are poor or rich, there is a cause for rejoicing. Jesus is the one who makes this possible. Jesus raises the poor that are rich in faith, and he humbles the wealthy because their salvation is not based upon their wealth, but it is based upon that which cannot be bought: the blood of Jesus Christ and the obedience of an humble and contrite spirit. When we do not allow our minds to stray far from this thought, we learn then to be content in whatever financial or material condition we find ourselves in. This was the attitude that Paul had, and we can also have the same attitude. Let's close today with Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, though the world may differ, the question is not how much money do you have, how big is your bank account, but how rich are you in faith? I want to thank you for spending this time with me today. I hope you've been encouraged by our time together. You have certainly encouraged me. I want to encourage you to stay tuned the rest of the day here on the Gospel Radio Network for all of the programming that's to come. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it'll be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Tune in tomorrow for Mornings for the Master with your host, Preston McElyea. You won't want to miss another great lesson from Preston. And remember that if the Lord wills, I will see you again next week at this same time for the Thursday edition of Mornings for the Master. And so until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you. We'll see you next time.